Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark.
Good day to you too, sir.
Another week, another poem. This week we're going to look at total hip arthroplasty. It is interesting to note that that is the most successful orthopedic procedure performed in the United States today. It's performed for a variety of reasons. It can relieve pain, restore function, improve quality of life. The actual guy who developed the procedure was British, a guy named John Charnley. He designed a hip prosthesis in the 1960s, and believe it or not, it's still used today, both in the United States and in the UK. We do about 300,000 of these hip arthroplasties each year just in the United States. The outcomes are amazing. In general, about 90% of people who've had these are working successfully, are pain-free, and without any complications 15 to 20 years post-operatively. Now, it's important to recognize that there are a number of complications that affect a small number of people. One of the more serious ones in the perioperative period is venous thrombosis. This week, you picked a poem that was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine in 2013, volume 158, pages 800 to 806. It asks a simple question, which is aspirin as effective as dalteparin for extended venous thromboembolism prophylaxis in patients who've undergone total hip arthroplasty? Mark, what did Anderson and his colleagues find?
Yeah, they found, previous studies have looked at using a variety of low molecular weight heparins for up to a month or even longer after hip arthroplasty. And this study said, do you really have to go out a full month? So all the patients got an initial 8 to 10 days of the fragment dalteparin, and then they were randomized at that point after 10 days to either continue with this drug for 5,000 units a day or to just go on a low-dose aspirin, 81 milligrams a day for the next month. And they used placebo aspirin tablets and placebo fragment injections, which we call a double dummy design. And no, Mike, that isn't a study that you and I came up with, a double dummy design. This is where there's two shams are given in order to better fool the patient and physicians. So patients using long-term aspirin therapy, some of the folks entering the trial were already taking low-dose aspirin, and they were randomly assigned to one of the two groups, but they were allowed to continue their low-dose aspirin in addition to the randomized aspirin or dalteparin. So they intended to enroll about 1,100 patients. They could only get not quite 800, so maybe a little bit underpowered. The two groups were the same at baseline. The average age was 58 years. The average patient stayed in the hospital about 5 days, which is maybe a little long for arthroplasty in this country. More than 90% of the patients said they were adherent to all of the doses. And after 90 days of follow-up, they found that aspirin was just as good as the dalteparin to prevent symptomatic pulmonary embolism or DVT. It was 1.3%, actually a little higher in the dalteparin group, 1.3% versus 0.3%, but wasn't statistically significant. There were no differences in bleeding events between the two groups. If anything, there was a trend favoring aspirin, and no real difference in those patients who were taking the long-term aspirin as well. So bottom line is that you want to give 8 to 10 days of low molecular weight heparin initially, but then after that it seems okay to go to just plain old baby aspirin instead of having to continue the drug for another month.
Which clearly means not only that the cost is less, dalteparin must be an expensive drug, but it also means that patients aren't going to need to get subcutaneous injections on a regular basis, which will make them happy.
Right, the convenience much better, the cost much, much better, like $2 versus $2,000 probably, right. And the convenience much better, and actually safety looked, you know, borderline a little better too.
You know, one thing that you mentioned that just puzzling, I mean, it was surprising to me when I heard you say it, and that was that the mean age in the study was 58. I mean, this is total hip arthroplasty. I would have expected it would have been a decade or so older than that.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. It didn't really occur to me, but I guess I know people in their early 50s getting them. And so you're right. It does seem a little young, and it might be some selection bias in terms of who was willing to enter the study. It might have been that the physicians recruiting patients were selectively recruiting or not recruiting those who were older because they thought maybe those older ones really, really do need that belt-tearing after all.
Right.
So it could have certainly been some recruitment or selection bias. I'm not sure what the average age is nationally.
Interesting. Well, thanks. This is also something that is useful. It's a practice changer, and it saves us some money, and patients will love us because they don't need the injections. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks for the advice.
All right. See you.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.